Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives from the world's leading global brands. Today, we're joined by Kirsten Ferber, who's the Chief People Officer at Kantar. Welcome to the show, Kirsten. How are you?
Hi, I am very, very well for a Friday.
That's all right. Well, thanks for joining us during these pretty crazy times that we're going through right now. I appreciate you joining us. And more importantly, given your recent blog, I think it was perfect timing for us to have this conversation. So thanks for that, first and foremost, as well. Before we jump in, tell everyone a bit about yourself personally and your journey to where we are today.
Thank you very much, first of all, for giving me the opportunity. So my background has really been pretty much media and broadcast throughout my career. I have focused very much in people roles. And I suppose I was sort of reflecting of like, why is that? And I really believe people and culture makes the biggest difference for organizations, whatever they're dealing with. Although I do think we're in a completely new territory at the moment, which I know we'll talk about. And I think having that passion and being seeing teams that can develop and can grow a business and individuals that can grow and businesses that can change, I just think is really, really fascinating. So I love what I do, love the people I work with, and I've had some amazing experiences to date, and there will be more going forward. So yeah, that's about me. And then I suppose connected to that, what I also enjoy is photography. So I really enjoy, you know, just taking that time out to take pictures and, you know, capture the moment.
Tell us a bit about the, obviously, your latest blog. What obviously we kind of, I was going to say what inspired it, but I suppose it's a bit of a silly question. We kind of know what's going on. What's the title of it and what people expect, and we can jump into it a bit more.
I'm a real believer of the importance about being human. So I've written over the last few years around that subject, certainly starting off about oneself, how technology and human, how we those connect together, and how it's not separate, work and home. And wow, we're really into it now. They are completely connected. Yes. You know, most of us from the same location. The being human for me is around, you know, the world is very complicated. Such a great example at the moment. It's complex. It's growing very fast. It's exciting. I think as consumers, we are very fussy, shall I say. We want things. We want things really quickly. And actually, there's some things we don't actually know how we want them. And that links in with technology. So all of that, very fast moving environment, I think sometimes we forget that actually the difference in competitive advantage is about how we can really be ourselves and really truly give our expertise out. And we'll only do that in environments that we know we're going to flourish. Mm-hmm. And I feel as HR professionals and leaders more broadly, it is our responsibility to create that environment so people can be their best selves, however that might be, and really unlock that ability. That was my starting point, and that's what those are my foundational points. And anyone who's worked with me and the feedback I get is, you know, it's about not spinning things. It's about who you are, being truthful, being open and honest. And I think where we are now in terms of suddenly we're all working remotely. We've all got lots of probably ways we may have led before or managed. We haven't got all of those things. We can't just walk through the office and go, oh, that person's not feeling great, or something's going on here, or actually, how can I get that idea refined or reflected? And I started to thinking about, well, what are some of the sort of the practical elements that we can think about? I know a lot of us in the HR community are in very much crisis mode, as well as the business overall. And what are the practical things when suddenly we're saying, right, we're all suddenly on 15 of us are on a conference call. How do we manage that? And it's very difficult, and it needs to be done very carefully, because it's a very, very different role for a leader and a manager to say, well, how can I manage a call with 15 people so that everyone gets heard? I can try and navigate it so we can get to the right decision, and also everyone feels included. And you'll probably have less time because it's very, very focused when you're on a video call. So that was something I just started to think about. And then the other, it just flourished. It was very, very quick. It just came out, and I've had some, you know, good response and people saying, actually, this is really helpful for helping me plan.
And that's what we need more now than ever, is some practical advice to help us. And the set of questions that you pose in the beginning of the article were like really kind of eye-opening and really helpful for me, just to, as even as a CEO, just to ask myself those questions. To me, ask myself. I was like, okay, very, very interesting. So the one that really stood out to me straight away was, you know, how do we continue humanness with colleagues whilst working virtually?
So I know a lot of people are doing this already. So the formal thing in the diary of let's have a catch up, let's schedule virtual coffees. So I know that's a lot of that is going on across many organizations to the point where you don't have an agenda. You're just asking people how they are. So that's, you know, a very, very easy thing. I think the balance with that sometimes then is you can turn into how are you? How are you? How are you? And that actually not be very, very helpful, because in this time when it's very
difficult, talking about negative stuff, which is kind of
really, very, very easily.
Yeah.
So how do you flip that? So I think there's definitely something around having the time that's not allocated for a specific agenda, allowing people to, you know, share their thoughts. I think it's going to be very interesting on Monday morning when people's normal phrase is, how was your weekend?
Oh, yeah. We haven't even got to that
very
yet.
Different. You know, I'm very interested. You know, are people really going to answer it? Or they're going to say, well, actually, I'm not sure if it was very different because I'm still at home. And for those who are very used to traveling Monday to Friday, one big element that I really believe in is that we are all different and we like to do things in different ways. So there is definitely not one approach to how you can be human. And I write about this quite a lot through sort of many other articles. Some people might not want to get onto group calls. Some people might want to have individual calls. Some people actually might prefer to write how they're feeling, and they might want to do it in an email. They might want to do it on a WhatsApp. They might want to do it on a chat or various other different channels that we have. And I think as a leader and a manager, we just need to be aware of that, but also be very reflective of, why am I always communicating on this channel? Because that might not be how everyone else wants to have that response. So those are some of the things about, I think, being different, really sort of, I suppose, listening and picking up on cues, because you've got less cues now to pick up on. And I think I also believe that the working day is going to change. So the sort of the 9 to 5, and maybe some of us have lunch, or maybe staggered working hours with children and pets and other things that, or, you know, elderly parents you may be looking after. It's really around staggering that day, not over the 24 hours, but much more in sort of that early morning, late at night, so that people can do their work and they can cover everything off in their life.
Yeah, I've already struggled with that. I said to you before the call, because I'm here at my desk, and normally you see the team go to lunch and it's kind of prompts me to take a break. And whereas now I just feel like I'm just working constantly, because I don't have those sort of key triggers where I see, you know, as I said, the team go for lunch, or Chris, do you want to go for a walk or have a chat? And then it kind of prompts you to get out of my seat, go for a walk, reset, have some lunch, come back, and then I'm back at it.
It's really important, because it's very easy just to keep going. You know, all the research is 90 minutes is sort of the golden time of your full concentration. Anything longer than that, you're not going to, you know, if we go back to how can you flourish, how can you be in the right environment, anything more than 90 minutes, there is a real reason to say, actually, you need to have a break. Mm-hmm. So I think scheduling breaks is a great idea. I'm definitely going to be doing it next week.
Easy to get carried on. Tammy had a good question. She said, to your point earlier, it'd be good to ask, instead of asking, how was your weekend, ask, what did you do that helped you over the weekend?
Great question.
Then we can flip it to something more positive as well. So the other thing that you mentioned, which is something that I've been thinking about, because a lot of people right now are being, you know, obviously we have to be very understand what's going on, support our employees, but also business has to go on too.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an organization, especially us in the events industry, which no longer exists, we've had to, you know, been more challenging more now than ever. So I'm wondering what your advice, another question that you covered of how do you build and challenge colleagues' ideas virtually?
It sort of goes back to what I was saying around how do you hold those group meetings. So I think that there's a couple of things. There's one which is around when you're asking for ideas, it's about, as a leader, it's about framing those ideas. So sort of in a way having those guardrails to say, look, here's strategically the direction we're going in. Now, having said that, I think the uncharted waters we're in at the moment, we might need to be moving those guardrails and really thinking out the box a little bit. But there is some type of guardrails to provide. And then it's thinking about how do you give people, again, we're all different, the opportunity to respond. So for the reflectors, less the extroverts, is provide those questions or those guardrails before the meeting, allowing people to think it through, to say, this is how we're going to be talking about it. If it's a very large group of people, it may be that two or three people may get together before to discuss something, and then they can share those ideas. In the session, the working session, this is about, I think, really using technology. So it's not, let's be face-to-face, not the sort of the card of here's my name and you don't know what the reaction is going on. So making sure everyone's on video, but also using the co-creation tools that a lot of technology now offers us. So whether that's a whiteboard, so people can see people actually writing at the same time in the meeting, whether it's a document that's being created at the same time, so people are actually seeing things live rather than people writing down notes in the in their respective locations. The other thing is really about how do you chair that meeting so that it's not frustrating for everyone, because having lots of ideas and then, okay, thanks very much, goodbye, you might have to end it and then come back and then say, how are you going to move some of those things forward? Because I think we've all been on the receiving end if you've been asked for feedback and then nothing happens.
Yeah, the worst thing.
So making sure that the loop's completed. Otherwise, it's wasted.
I love the idea about sending it in advance. Because people that, as you said, are not necessarily the ones that speak up during the virtuals as well. It gives them a chance to digest it, and then they can come to the table and they may email you their feedback after, right? Those are the type of people that they may do that. And I was on a virtual conference call recently, and there's over 50 people on it. It's pretty intimidating. If you're on a call with 50 of your colleagues on a virtual company call, are you really likely to say, here's some advice and guidance, some insights, here's some ideas I have, because you've got all the pressure of all of those people looking in. I've seen these people posting company Zoom call pictures of 50, 100 people on their Zoom call, but I was thinking, like you said, how many of them actually have managed to give input and be part of the conversation?
Well, it's thinking about the purpose, isn't it, of the meeting. Is it a big conversation of I'm feeding back everything, or is it a small discussion? And then it's agreeing about how do you want to get my attention as the chair of the meeting. So what's the contracting of that up front as well? So again, it depends what the purpose is.
Any ideas around how to kind of identify if people in our team are struggling? What advice would you give around that? How are you trying to stay in contact with employees at Kantar and make sure their own mental health and well-being is also something to take into mind?
I think there's a couple of things. As a manager and then as a colleague and a peer, when something is different and not going on. So people may be responding less. We know when people are joining calls. Are they not joining calls? Have you not heard from them for a long time? They were working on a project they were really excited about, but now they're not. So there's those signs to be aware of. And I think it's about flagging when those issues are. I do believe in small teams, even if you're a large organization or small organization, the immediate people that you work with, you know each other very, very well. So it's about supporting each other and how you might want to work and what the structure of that work. I think what's going to be very interesting in the next few weeks is for people who've already signed up to start in a new company and they haven't got those relationships. There's a real focus now on what is that induction, because it's going to be very, very different to how you would have maybe have done it before. And I think those are the people, really be thinking about how they're going to fit in, how they're going to be recognised in a time when we just don't know what's going to go on.
I hadn't even thought about that, considering what you're saying. People are actually being onboarded just before this happened as well. What are you advising your managers right now then, just to make sure they stay connected with them as close as possible? Set up Zoom call.
Stay connected. I think the other thing is around be really, really clear what's expected. I know there's goals, there's objectives. Of course, they will change given the economic circumstances. But what are those maybe weekly goals? What are those daily goals? Because if you give people, again, some clarity of what's expected, it takes the pressure off. Do I need to be at my computer from 8 o'clock in the morning till 7?
I'm working if I'm not there the entire time.
There's a lot of great language that I'm hearing at Kantar, which is around let's just recognise that we're all human. We all have different ways of working, and it's going to be different, and it's going to take time for us to adapt. So I think it's just being reflective of that.
You also mentioned in the article something which I'd love to hear more about is
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
You said, where do you get different ideas and perspective on an issue? What did you mean? What do you mean by that?
So I think when we are in a world of looking at things from a different perspective, because we need to be competitive. Now is a great example that I believe that people who are win are really going to be thinking differently now, because that's the way that's going to navigate through. And it's very difficult to think differently. I believe you need to have that insight or that perspective. And that might mean for people, I'm walking down the street and it came to me, or I've had some random conversations that I didn't know I was going to have on the train, in the coffee shop, or I went to this country and I thought about things from this way. So it's that different perspective. I think it goes back to what we're saying, where we are now. If we're sitting in our home office, wherever that might be, or however grand that might be, it's very easy to be very internalized, looking at the news, looking on the website all the time, and actually not taking a step out. And you were saying, let's get outside and have a look. And just changing your mind so it's really firing the creative side and then connecting with someone to really bring out those ideas and bring them back forward.
Yeah. Personally, you know, in terms of advice to your peers, other HR practitioners like yourself, mm-hmm. how have you personally changed your day-to-day? What does your current day-to-day now look like? And how are you continuing to do business and support your team virtually?
This might sound a bit weird. I think the first thing is that you... and as HR people, we're really bad at it, is look after yourself. You know, whatever your routine is, you're putting breaks in. My thing now, and I wrote my list of three or four things, is the first thing I do is I don't go downstairs and look at email. The first thing I do is that obviously I get dressed and then I go out for a walk, so that I can get really, really clear of, okay, what are the things today? What do I need to focus on? What am I going to do? What's going to change? Because you're constantly, I think now as leaders, we are prioritizing work all the time. What reaction am I going to have to handle? So I think having that clarity, if you can, depending obviously you're working globally, you may have early morning calls with Asia if you're based in the UK. So I think that's one thing. I think the second thing is about being connected, because we're all dealing with the same questions. You know, last week or sort of 10 days, do I close the office? Do I not? Do I keep it open? Do I not? Do I stop this? And we're going to have constant many things. And there's some great networks, and you know which networks, this one, there's others that are really good to keep connected to those people, so that, because, you know, let's share. And I think we're definitely a community of sharing, because we can share all our ideas, but we know which ones are really going to land in our organizations and how do they get communicated in our organizations. We're the translator for that, and the partner with the business. So it's that external network that's important. The checking in with the team for me is really critical. What's the pulse? What's going on? What are people really saying? You might have communicated things out on a call to the wider business, on email, but what are people really, really saying? And you can pick that up quite quickly, because you'll get questions that are coming through from the team or thoughts. So really keeping on top of what the pulse is. And then there's a place we have to be, is the emotion, the uncertainty, and then trying to bring some certainty in it. What certainty can you provide? What decisions can you make at that exact level, that you know you're going to be able to drive things forward? Because a lot of the organization is looking up to say, well, what are they going to do? If they close the office, then I can then go and make some decisions. But if they're not, I don't know what to do. Should I be in the office or not? So those are, I think, some of the sort of the elements. So look after yourself, keep connected on your networks externally, keep connected in your team for the pulse, and also connect with your peers in terms of you're running a business as well. So you're able to ebb and flow as information and news comes in.
Yeah. And something I've learned over the years is the more that I can look after Chris, the better I can be as a leader to my team, to and a better, you know, father to Robin, and to Natasha as well, because in the past I thought, you know, going 100 miles an hour was actually how I'm best supporting everyone, and I realized it wasn't. I wasn't spending enough time at home with Robin and Natasha. I wasn't spending enough time with my team, and I was just going a million miles an hour, you know, achieving goals, objectives, etc. But it just really wasn't what my team needed at the time. They needed me to be fresh, fully awake, engaged, you know, as well. So love that. And that was a really big concern for me this week, because I got hundreds of emails from our customers who are like yourself, chief people officers. And they were saying to me, Chris, my day doesn't even, you know, it doesn't even start and end. It's just continuous, because a lot of them have global roles. And I immediately I thought, I hope you're taking care of yourself, because you can't keep doing this as well. So great advice.
Sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable. It may be short for a few weeks, maybe, or a few days, but it's not good. It's not good as well. Well, look, thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening as well. We appreciate you joining us on the show. And apart from that, obviously, stay safe, Kirsten. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
And for everyone on LinkedIn, we'll see you again. See you later, Kirsten.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.